all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Tammy Peterson. Tammy is the CEO of Oxford Recovery Center. Tammy, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Well, we're glad to have you. It's always an interesting time to talk to somebody who's working in healthcare, doing some things maybe a little non-traditional that may help our veterans. For our listeners, you should know that Tammy holds a number of degrees, including a PhD from Wayne State University. She spent a lot of her time in the healthcare area for the last decade or more, and in that regard has become the CEO of Oxford Recovery Center in the Southeast Michigan area, which has two particular types of treatments we want to talk about. One is hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and the other is neurofeedback, both of which are used with some success with patients, veterans with TBI, traumatic brain injuries. Tammy, let's start with you telling us a little bit about Oxford Recovery Center.
Absolutely. So Oxford Recovery Center is in South Lyon, Brighton, and Troy. We offer multiple different therapies to basically help with everything from recovery from traumatic brain injuries, autism, cerebral palsy, strokes, post-traumatic stress disorder, to sports enhancement. So we have different therapies and help different types of people's needs.
Well, let's go a little deeper on what hyperbaric oxygen therapy is. That's a mouthful. Can you explain what that is to our listeners?
Absolutely. It's not new. It's actually been around since the 1600s, believe it or not. It is where you pressurize, you simulate going below sea level in a container that's pressurizing the environment with 100% oxygen. So 100% oxygen versus our approximately 21% ambient air, increase atmospheric pressure for a short duration of time. All the words do not sound friendly. Like when we say chamber pressure, it actually feels amazing. It's almost euphoric. It basically feels like you're laying in bed watching TV. The cylinder is glass, so you can see right through it. And it's just comfortable to lay back.
And when you go through this, is there a standard protocol for how long you're in there, or what the oxygen levels are? Tell us a little bit more about it.
So the oxygen level is always 100% medical grade oxygen. The duration of time usually is about an hour and 20 minutes. Could be a little longer, a little less, depending on the person's condition. It is dosed dosed according to depth. So we would say how far below sea level. And in hyperbarics, we use the term ATA. So for instance, my average dose or ATA is 2.0, and that's taking you about 33 feet below sea level. Now, you really don't go anywhere, and there's no water. It just simulates it.
Right. That's the next thing we want to clear up here. I'm laying in a tube or a case. What am I laying in?
So we refer to the term as a chamber, but that has a negative connotation in our English language. So it's like a cylinder. It's large. You can move around. You just lay there. There's a gurney in it, and it's clear glass all the way around.
So I can sit up if I want to, I can lay down if I want to, it's just being exposed to that oxygen level for a specific length of time. Is that the idea?
Yes.
And is there, for different diseases, if I have a mild TBI or I have a severe TBI or I have some other process for which I'm having this therapy, is there a difference in how the procedure works?
Well, if, for instance, I'll tell you, sports injuries, concussions are huge right now. If we can take somebody who, they're playing football, they're knocked out, they have a concussion, they're showing symptoms right away, if I can get them in the chamber within 48 hours, it's quick fix. Sometimes within an hour, they're back to normal. Sometimes it takes two. If I have somebody who has a traumatic brain injury, they are getting worse, they haven't been treated, it's been going on for years, that's going to take more like a few months to treat.
And what's happening physically to me during this treatment process?
So you feel nothing, but what's happening is your body is being stimulated to grow new capillaries, to increase your own stem cells at least 800%. It reduces inflammation, increases mitochondrial activity, reduces swelling. It grows new blood vessels. It basically, we're just putting you in an environment where your body can heal itself, just giving it the tools it needs.
And while you say this isn't new, and it's been around since the 1800s, tell us a little 1600s. I'm sorry. Tell us a little bit about how it's being applied to veterans in TBI.
Absolutely. There was a research study that we actually tried to do about 6 years ago to get started. To show so many of our veterans are coming back with blast injuries, post-traumatic stress disorder, TBIs, and they're not really given any hope. And just saying time will tell or wait to see what happens does not help the healing. Where the hyperbarics actually can help heal the brain.
And this is done by what? Increasing the capillaries you mentioned in the, are we saying it increases the capillaries in the brain?
So by reducing the inflammation, we get oxygen to parts of the brain that it's not. For one, our plasma, which I always say is like the river that carries your white cells and red cells, that's not carrying oxygen. But when you're in a hyperbaric chamber, the plasma, which is very thin and it can get to all places of the brain and the body and the tissue, that gets saturated with oxygen. Oxygen is what lets us heal. And
Veteran Radio listeners, we're talking to Dr. Tammy Peterson, who is with the Oxford Recovery Center, and we're talking specifically about hyperbaric oxygen therapy, a method that's used at Oxford Recovery. But, Tammy, is this a treatment that's available across the country?
Well, it's in the U.S., it's not as available as we would like it to be, typically because it is a common treatment for the bends, like when you're scuba diving. You'll find the clinics are coastal, Florida, Texas, California. There are a few clinics within the states. We have two clinics here in Southeast Michigan. But they're not as readily available as you would like. Now, every hospital around does have hyperbarics, but they use them primarily for diabetic ulcerated foot wounds, for the bends. There's a few other conditions, but it's very severe conditions that they use them for. In the U.S., we use nothing for neurological conditions in a standard hospital hyperbaric.
So I'm going to find this treatment for a TBI-type condition outside my normal hospital setting, in a standalone healthcare facility like Oxford Recovery Center. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
I see. And in doing some research for our podcast today, I did notice there's a National Hyperbaric Association, and that in particular, they have a number of pieces of information and pages about application to veterans for things like neurological injuries, TBI, and PTSD, and seem to be an advocacy group supporting that for our veterans. Are you familiar with the organization?
So there's several different organizations. There's the Undersea Hyperbaric Medical Society, and that's primarily what you'll find in the hospitals. And then you have the International Hyperbaric Medical Foundation, and that's more of what we would say is the freestanding, the non-hospital based, the ones who will do the neurological conditions. There has been many efforts with that group to try to get the federal government to get on board to start treating our veterans in hyperbarics. One of our biggest challenges right now is none of the VA hospitals, or very few, if any, have hyperbaric chambers in them. So getting studies and getting funding approved has been a great challenge. But we say reach out to the foundation to see if there's any studies going on. They're currently, they're not accepting any patients now, but hopefully we will be able to in the near future.
Well, and that's one of the things I wanted to mention is that at present, this isn't an approach that VA is recognizing as being effective. Is that the current status of VA thinking?
Well, I hear them say that it's not effective. I think it's because they don't have the chambers to put our vets in. There's no question that it is effective for TBIs. Absolutely irrefutable evidence, irrefutable research from all over the world. Israel's doing phenomenal studies in hyperbaric medicine. Russia, Japan, China. Many countries use this as standard protocol. The United States does not. And so they may say there's not, but there is strong evidence.
Well,
and we see it every day.
Well, unfortunately, we veterans are all too familiar with the VA and the federal government not promoting something or not recognizing something because of the cost implications to the VA budget. And so when we hear VA say, well, that doesn't work, or no, we don't support that, I think we all look at it with like, yeah, what you really mean is you don't want to pay for it. So I don't think any veteran would consider what he's being told or she's being told is maybe the final word. And that's why I want to kind of get across. There's a whole lot of research on this method worldwide, and certainly here in the U.S., and it's pretty easy to find on the Internet. Now, you can't believe everything you can find on the Internet, but it certainly can make you a more educated consumer, I would think.
Well, I will tell you, in 2006, I had never heard of hyperbarics, and I had two supposedly healthy kids when my daughter woke up suddenly unable to walk, and looking at her, she ended up with a severe brain injury, and she was 9 years old, and they gave us no hope of her survival. When she does survive, she comes home severely brain damaged, functioning at an infant level, and they told me nothing would help, and I got the same line, there's nothing that will work. And my question was, let me find something, let me try something, even if it's not your traditional. And the doctors assured me there was nothing out there. When I received an email from a support group I was in, from a mom in Malaysia, of all places, telling me about hyperbarics, thinking that it will help my daughter. And I can remember when I talked to my daughter's doctor, she had three different neurologists, her family care doctor. They all said, nothing's going to get her better. It's not going to work. And I'm like, well, then give me another option. They're like, no, but this is not going to work. You need to face it. She's not going to make it. Just face her doom. And I wasn't willing to, and I wasn't willing to listen to the doctors. Thank God I didn't, because she had a full recovery. She's in college, a normal kid today.
And I think it's those kind of stories and personal experiences that give us hope and say, you know, let me try something a little different. Maybe I'm the one it'll work for. Before we go on, I want to talk about neurofeedback for a moment. So hyperbaric oxygen therapy is not going to be covered by the VA, and I don't think it's generally covered by private insurance. Can you give us some general thoughts so the listeners appreciate the cost implications of the therapy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can tell you exactly. We charge $195 a treatment. There is where you can prepay for a set of them, and it brings it down to $170 a treatment.
Well, it certainly sounds like a reasonable charge for what's being involved. So let's turn to neurofeedback therapy, which is also practiced at the Oxford Recovery Center, and we're talking to its CEO, Tammy Peterson. Tammy, can you explain neurofeedback for us?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also encourage the listeners to go to our website, and they can see pictures of the chamber, and they can see some videos on the neurofeedback. Neurofeedback is pretty cool. It's basically using an EEG machine where you hook yourself up with a gel connectivity. Nothing goes in the brain. We just read out. And we're actually able to take, like, the little squiggly lines that we all recognize from the EEG, and it's able for software to convert it to real-time brain activity. So we have 21 points on your head and with your ears that we are able to get a full image of brain activity. We can look at interconnectivity. We can look at any little part. We can look at Brodmann 7 area, whatever little part of the brain, and we can look to see if its frequency is functioning in an area that is allowing us to have normal processing. And sometimes we find, like, the posterior lobes have a lot of very fast speed, but the frontal lobes that are receiving the message are functioning really slow. Well, if you can imagine, you've got all this information trying to get to the frontal lobes, your brain gets kind of what some people would say is ADD, kind of like when you're clicking on the computer and it's not moving fast enough, so you switch to something else. Our brain does the same thing. And when we're getting this information, we can't process it fast enough, our brain kind of shuts down or starts fading out or zoning. So we can actually go in, and through a visual and an auditory reinforcement, we can actually train your brain to speed up or slow down or to communicate correctly.
I can get how you can gather the information and sort of analyze what's going on. But I don't get how you train the brain. Can you talk some more about how you then take all that data you're receiving and say, okay, now this is what we have to do to train the brain for what your brain is doing?
I totally understand. It seems, even talking about it, I'm like, it seems so crazy, but we see it work, so it's amazing. You listen, you have noise-canceling headphones, so you pick a tone that you like. And so it's all just subconscious with the person. So they're listening to this tone or this sound that they like, and they're seeing the screen. It can be a game that you look at or something on a television screen, a computer monitor. And if your brain, the tech is setting it up for a 70% reward. So they look at an area of the brain that they're looking at stimulating either to calm down or speed up. And through the leads, we're reading the brain activity. And if the brain is responding within the reward area, like they're given 70% of the time, they're hearing the music. If the brain starts speeding up or slowing down outside of that reward zone, the music starts to fade. And the screen starts to fade. And our brains are stuck. They're like, huh, I liked hearing that. So if I'm functioning here, I hear the music. If I'm functioning here, I don't. So I want to function here. And you actually can continue to reward it to get it to function in a normal range.
I can kind of understand how that works. But I guess I wonder, does it rewire the brain so that it, you know, when I'm not seeing the screen and listening to the tone, it continues to work that way? How much time does it take to rewire this?
No, it actually, usually it's done in 20 sessions. And when it's back to its kind of, we call it the happy place, it stays there. And I've had people even in their 70s improve reading comprehension. I had somebody who literally said, he's in his early 50s. He is a vet. He did it and said for the first time in his life, he can, like, focus on activities. He was so ADD, he couldn't focus to correctly work and was able to calm the brain down and process. I guess he'll say they can listen to conversations because they can tune into people. I love the reading. When we get, especially elementary age kids, their improvement in reading is incredible.
Well, I think one of the things that's interesting in both of these therapies that you're practicing, you mentioned ADD. These aren't drugs. You're not giving me a bunch of drugs to get there, are you?
No.
It's a whole different approach than plying you with drugs.
Absolutely. We love to get you off the drugs. We find often, especially kids who are in ADD medicine or even adults, that they don't like the way it makes them feel. And it's really not the resolution. And when we do some retraining, it's just incredible how we can just get their brain back to where it should be functioning, and it stays.
Is this type of neural feedback therapy something that's recognized or used by the VA hospital system?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Well, again, it's sort of unfortunate. It sounds like offers great promise. Now, it also sounds like it's sort of intensive. It requires a skilled technician and operator and person to work with the patient, a lot of one-on-one, it sounds like.
It is. It is absolutely one-on-one, yeah.
And have you had, you mentioned the one veteran, but have you had the opportunity to work with veterans over the course of years and with both therapies? And can you tell us a little bit about what those experiences have been like?
I've had different veterans. I had probably the one who I just remember treating recently. He was a vet, but it actually wasn't a vet injury, but very... I think part, even though when we've had a second trauma, the trauma from being a vet kind of exemplifies the second trauma. He had been out of the military but had his own business in Detroit and was actually shot point blank in the head, and he was robbed. And he said he remembers laying there right before Christmas, watching the blood come out of his head, thinking, I'm going to ruin my family's Christmas, and then spent the next 10 years with not only a TBI, but the post-traumatic stress disorder. And I think part of his history played into that being even worse. His family said they didn't like him anymore, including his wife. He had changed personality. He said he didn't like himself. He was extremely depressed, could not function, and actually had back pain and came in to see about back pain and saw that we treated post-traumatic stress disorder is what he really said he had, even though I'm sure there was a traumatic brain injury also involved there. But it changed his life. He actually, he was pretty much a skeptic. He kept saying, well, I'm going to kind of wait to see. He goes, I'll try a few treatments and wait to see. And literally changed his life. He's one who says, I'll talk to anybody. I got him on our Facebook because I interviewed him right around Christmas time last year when he had finished. And it's just really neat when he says, you know, it gave him his life back. His wife liked him again. His kids said he was back.
Well, and I think that's what a lot of men and women who come back from service kind of hear, that, hey, the person who came back is not the person who left, and you need to get in some therapy to regain that spark or that approach to life that you had before. Now, you had mentioned that the cost for hyperbaric oxygen therapy, is the neurofeedback cost in that same range?
No, that's usually between $90 and $100 per treatment, and you don't need as much. That is something that you usually do about 20 treatments. So it's usually about a $2,000 investment.
And is this, am I required to have a referral from my primary care physician? Or if I'm interested in either of these therapies from listening to this program, how do I get in touch with you and set up to see whether or not I'm a good candidate for these therapies?
So we like to meet with everybody. We want to make sure you're a good candidate. We're kind of frugal with your money, too, and so we want to make sure we go through, and we meet with everybody coming in. We spend an hour with all prospective candidates, and in that we can get a full history and really get a feel of what you need and create a program very individualized to you. So if you call our 248-486-3636 number, or you can go to the website and see it at OxfordRecoveryCenter.com and just ask for a free consult. And during that consult time, we're looking and asking questions and creating a program for you to make sure you're a good candidate. And it also gives you a chance to get a feel for us and ask us questions. And we do not charge for that consult.
Well, I want to encourage our veteran radio listeners to think about these therapies. Maybe they're right for someone you know. We want to thank Dr. Tammy Peterson, CEO of the Oxford Recovery Center, for spending a little time with us today on Veterans Radio. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans' Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.